Where were you, and what do you recall about hearing the news of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor?
I was in North Carolina in Camp Pickett, Virginia, training.
So you were already in the United States Armed Forces at the start of the war.
Yes, I was in the United States Army, and I got my training, and then I was shipped over to England. And at England, I crossed the channel into France, D plus five.
And what was your unit's assignment when you got to France? What was your unit's objective?
Our objective was to try to get to Berlin, but it was quite a ways away, and we had a lot of fighting to do to get there because of all the. When I got in at D plus five, we were in the hedgerows, and they were mean to fight in because the Germans would be on one side and we'd be on the other, and sometimes when we were in there fighting, they'd come in with a tank, and then we'd have to withdraw because they'd shoot direct fire from their machine gun and even from the big artillery gun, and we'd have to back out.
Now, I've read where units did train in hedgerow country in Ireland before the invasion for France, but soldiers were surprised at the height and the thickness of the hedgerow country in the Normandy region. Was that the particular case for you and your soldiers?
Yes, it was. The hedgerows were, they varied. Some were shorter, some were tall, but most of them were tall, and they have a lot of hedgerows there. I imagine they're still there unless they tore them out or got rid of them. But I was just glad I wasn't the one to be at D-Day because that was terrible. And D plus five, the enemy was pushed back some, so we had some room in the hedgerows. And after we got out of the hedgerows, then we chased them pretty fast. And we'd get tied down. And then I got into the Battle of the Bulge in Belgium. And that was a bad place. When we come into that, we relieved the division. It was either the second or fourth, and they took a terrible beating. I think there was only about 25 to 50 people left of that division. And I was in the 90th, and our division come in there at night, and it was very cold. And the Americans were just laying all over, and it was unbelievable of the dead soldiers. And some of them still had their rifle pointed like they were getting ready to shoot. They were froze just as hard as a rock. And we had been walking all night, and we should have never done it, but we were so tired that a lot of them just set on. It was a bad thing, but to get some rest, it happened. And we were all kind of sorry we'd done it afterwards, but I guess it didn't make much difference.
Now, where in France did this take place at? Do you remember which village or city was nearby?
I can't remember the city. Battle of the Bulge was it was in Belgium, but I can't remember the city. I don't know where it was.
Was this in the open country area or in the wooded area?
It was wooded. The Battle of the Bulge had a lot of trees, and it was a wooded area, and it was a area that I think Hitler was trying to make his last push. He knew he was beat, but I think he threw everything he had into that and tried to push the Americans back. And he did push them back some, but the Americans come around from the other side with different divisions, and they conquered it. They got through.
Now, the winter of 1944-45 was one of the coldest on record for Northern Europe. What was it like fighting in the cold in that what could be best be described as a maelstrom, where there were also rumor, obviously, there were German soldiers dressed as American soldiers, English-speaking German soldiers. Was your unit aware of those tactics being employed? Did they hear this? Did your unit hear stories that, hey, there are German soldiers marching around dressed as Americans?
They did mention that, but in my outfit, we heard of it and we were warned to watch for it, but it didn't. I don't think any of our troops run any trouble like that.
What was the reaction of the French civilians as the army moved forward? We've seen it depicted in movies and I've read it in books where the French population was just overjoyed the moment that the Allied armies moved through. Do you have any incidents like that of interaction with the French civilians during the march across France?
Yes, we did. And I had some of my own experience with that. When we marched across, they were happy to see us, and they'd come out and want to feed us. And we even slept in a few homes in France. When we got behind the lines and we were on rest area, they invited us into their homes, and we stayed there, and they even fed us. But we just trusted them, and they seemed to be real friendly, and I think they were glad to see the American soldiers.
Now, were you able to write letters back home, and did you receive mail from friends and family back home during your time in the service?
Yes, I could write home, and it took quite a bit of time. Maybe it would take, I'd see, two and a half, maybe 3 weeks. It all depends how much of a move we were doing over there. But we seemed to always get mail, but it was 2 to 3 weeks before we'd get anything.
Did you get any special packages from home, like food or a sweater or extra socks or anything like that, extra things that just made life a little more bearable on the front lines?
Yes, we did. My sister-in-law used to send, I was a single man at that time when I was in the service, and my sister-in-law used to send cookies over and cakes and stuff like that. It took quite a while to get there, but we was always glad to get the food.
Now, what did your members of your unit did to, what did your members of your unit do to kind of pass the time if they had some downtime or weren't on the move? Were there stuff like baseball games or music being played or anything like that?
When we were back on the rest area, we'd get a shower and clean up, and it seemed like we never played no baseball. A lot of them would play cards. They'd do some gambling if they had a little money. And a lot of the boys just rested. They were so tired. They were glad to get a clean place to sleep, and they'd do more resting.
Now, where were you when you heard about the news of Germany surrendering?
When I heard the news of Germany surrendering, I was 35 miles from Berlin, and my sergeant told me I was one of the oldest men in the company, and I couldn't go back to the rear. But he said, Don, if you want to stay till tomorrow and think it over tonight, the mess truck is coming up in the morning, and you could either go back with him or stay here and go and see Berlin, because they were going to go into Berlin within the next day or two. And we had to wait because the Russians come in from one side, and we took it together. And I went back with the mess truck. I thought it over that night, and I figured, well, if I'd stay for a day or two, and go into Berlin, I'd like to see it, but I figured I'd probably never go back to the United States, so I went back with the chow truck.
And when did you return to the United States?
I returned to the United States It was in 1945. I think it was March of 1945.
What was perhaps the most serious moment for you during the war?
I think the most serious time for me in the war was when I went in at D+5, we were fighting the hedgerows. And there was about 15 of us guys in between one of those hedgerows. And one of the men got hit with a bullet, and he was very bad shape. I knew he was, I figured he'd die because he was very bad. We couldn't get him out of there. And the reason we couldn't get him out, there was a big German tank camouflaged. We never seen it. And the first thing, he started to come in. And as he come in, we just seen him coming. And we all had to get out of there because he was shooting with the machine gun and direct fire with the gun on the tank. And we just went out, and we had to leave the wounded. It was a terrible thing. And the next day or two, we retook the same place. And those boys, they never took them prisoner. They killed them. That was the worst thing I seen.
Now, how do you think the war, your experiences in the war, changed you as far as your life, as far as the kind of person you are?
I think the way the war is, it's something you can tell a lot of people about the war and how it was, but you'll never realize what it's like until you're in it yourself. And I think what it did to me, it kind of made me grow up faster and realize how much life is worth. Because in war, life don't mean much. You can get killed so quick. So please take care of the country, but it's too bad we have to take it with a fight in the war.
Now, I know that you were received 3 Purple Hearts and also a Distinguished Service Cross during the war. How did you earn that Distinguished Service Cross?
The Distinguished Service Cross, I got that by a commander ordered me and 3 guys to go up and go ahead of them and spot out if there was enemy up ahead. And we went up there, and they were throwing grenades. They heard us coming, and they started to throw grenades at us. And I stayed there. The other two went back. They kind of got out of it, and I stayed there. And I got rid of 3 of them. And then one of them left. He went back to his troops, and I left. But I had gotten hit with some shrapnel. And then there was 2 other fights in France where I got hit with shrapnel. That's how I got the 3 Purple Hearts.
What was the thing that you missed the most during your time in the service, and when you got back home, you know, some luxury or some item that's like, boy, I really miss this, and doggone it, it's good to be back home so I can enjoy this?
Well, when I was glad to get back to see my brothers. My folks had died. They were dead. But I was glad to see my brothers and my sister, and I was glad. We used to go to a lot of dances when I was, before I went to the service. And we started to go back to dances, and I liked that. I missed it was I was in the service. We didn't go to any service because of the time and stuff. And it seemed like when we did have time to go, we wanted to rest up because we knew we were going to be called back to the front lines.
I see. Now, did you have any brothers or sisters that served in the armed forces during the war?
No, I come from a big family, but I was the only one that was drafted, and the rest didn't serve in the war.
Don Zweifel, Scotland, South Dakota, United States veteran. Thank you very much. This is Steve Toom for South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thank you.